What are we starting with this week?
We did YouTube comment last week. No, we did. We did Patreon last week. Damn it.
I said before we started recording that we're doing a YouTube comment. And like,
oh, really?
I was paying attention to that. Thank you, Corey. So, was like, oh, whoopsies. I can't find the YouTube comment. And I was like, that's in my brain now. Hell yeah.
So we are starting with a YouTube comment, the YouTube comment of the month. And it's quite a good one. Quite a long one to strap in.
Quite a prestigious title. YouTube comment of the month.
Yeah, of the month, right?
Damn.
But this is from Katrine, and it says, I mean, space is a bit gay.
That's it. Yeah!
Yeah, no, that is the comment of the month. That one really made me chuckle. That was on our Gays in Space Dr. Sally Ride episode, which you should definitely check out. We go into the depths of sending a gay to space. Shall we start the show?
Yes.
Yes, let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Hello.
Hello there.
This week, we've got a woolly big story.
Woolly mammoths. We're talking about mammoths.
Yeah, we're talking about mammoths.
Yes!
Not that on the spot, by the way. Like, nothing written down on this sheet of paper. I just came up with that off the top of my head. Yeah, so we're talking about mammoths this week. Have you guys heard about...
about mammoths, yes.
Yeah.
The woolly ones, yes.
Yeah, the woolly ones.
Were there non-woolly ones?
There are mammoths that weren't called woolly mammoths. But I think they were still a little bit woolly.
Just pictured how you can get like a hairless cat, but in mammoth form. Just like a sphinx mammoth.
Weird.
Gigantic.
That's an elephant. You're talking about an elephant. Tusk.
I am talking about an elephant.
Yeah.
That's true.
the mammoths were in the news a couple of weeks ago. Do you guys know why that was?
Have they successfully back cloned together? One?
No. There's a mammoth reunion happening. They're going on a world tour.
I feel like you guys have said basically the same thing in slightly different ways. Both entirely wrong, by the way. mammoths are in the news because we sequenced some of their DNA. We've got a little bit of mammoth DNA, but the cool thing is that it's actually some of the oldest DNA. In fact, the oldest DNA we've ever sequenced. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, I want to give you guys a background on mammoths. What do you think a mammoth is?
Big
hairy elephant.
Okay, right. Well, yeah, you're not wrong entirely. So a mammoth is, oh my gosh, this is so frustrating that you're right. It's a group of extinct elephants. And
big hairy elephant.
Yeah. Thank you, Jam. Infuriating.
For that low resolution description of a mammoth.
Really, man.
Look in the dictionary.
That's a big woolly elephant. No, so mammoths are elephants. They're extinct elephants. And you can find their fossils on every single continent except for Asia and South America. Did I say Asia? No, except for Australia and South America.
I was just thinking, were they in Australia?
No, they were not in Australia. They were in Asia, just not Australia and South America. So there are some different types of mammoths. There's woolly mammoths, Siberian mammoths. There's a bunch of different kinds of mammoth. Okay. Mm. But what to bear in mind is that mammoths are a type of elephant that has died.
Cool.
Oh, wait, no. The species has died.
They've all died.
An elephant does not become a mammoth after it dies. That is not what I'm saying.
Like a caterpillar at cocoons.
Do you guys have any idea why we might know more about mammoths in comparison to other sort of extinct mammals? Bear in mind they went extinct between like sort of like 10 to 15,000 years ago. Some were as recently as only about 4 or 5,000 years ago. But can you guys figure out any reason why we might know a lot about mammoths?
I was going to say because they're bloody everywhere, it seems.
Well, they are everywhere, but
is it because some of them are frozen?
Yeah, bang on. That's right.
Oh. Yeah,
we've got some really well preserved mammoths because they like to live in cold climates and specifically very cold places. And some of them died and were frozen into the permafrost, so they're very, very well preserved. Reserved, preserved.
Yeah,
it's like popping your mammoth in a freezer, and well, it's like it's you know It's like you put your food in the freezer. It lasts much longer.
It does.
Than it lasts on the counter.
Put your mammoth in the freezer, it lasts a lot longer.
Yep. Last thousands of years. Thousands. At least four.
Millions.
No, well, no, that's a bit much.
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, mammoths kind of went extinct between sort of 10 to 15,000 years ago. And there are some species that may have been alive as recent as like 4,000-ish years ago. Mm-hmm. But those were only on sort of small islands and whatnot. Not great populations of them. And they had been around. So they'd been around for, I think, about... What it says here is 2.6 million years ago, wow. Potentially. Yeah, which is mad. Mammoths have been around for a long, long time. And we used to hunt them a lot as well. You know, they were around for about 500,000. Yeah, actually, sorry. They were around for about 500,000 years. So 500,000 years plus kind of 5,000-10,000. Mm-hmm. That they've died. Yeah, so they were around for about 500,000 years, and we used to hunt them as well. So we shared a lot of time with mammoths, and we know a fair amount about mammoths. So we know that they've got a back hump; they have fat deposits in their back hump. We could not tell that from fossil records. How do you think we figured it out?
Frozen one,
frozen?
Not the frozen ones, no.
Because it had bones that were like bendy.
No, we can't tell it from its bones.
You can't tell. From its bones.
DNA?
Weird.
No. Way simpler than that.
We asked them.
That is simpler.
If I remind you that we used to share the planet with them. People used to be alive at the same time as man.
Someone told us. A really old person.
And they're here with us today.
Through cave paintings. Yeah. Bear in mind, mammoths, mammoths went extinct like 10,000 years ago.
I'm aware of that.
Yeah, okay. Someone did tell us through cave paintings, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we...
What, were they fat-shaming mammoths in cave paintings?
No, they're just drawing them. It's not fat-shaming to draw a realistic mammoth.
Fat bitch Brenda. I'm going to draw it on my cave. She had the fattest hump I've ever seen.
Just...
I don't know if that's really bad or really funny, or both.
Moving on. So one thing we do know about mammoths, I say one thing, one of many things we know about mammoths, is they were bloody big. A lot of them were about the size of elephants are today. Mm. About the size that elephants are today. But the North American Imperial Mammoth was 4 meters tall at the shoulder.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
4 meters, for anyone listening, is over twice my height.
It's two doors.
Two doors. Two doors tall.
Oh, God.
Taller than this room.
What?
Yes.
That's like the height of an upstairs window.
Yeah. It's just wow. And we used to hunt them.
Yeah. I've read before that mammoths were like, are credited with like one of the reasons why humans went into colder and colder climates, because it's like getting the really hard star in a Mario course. It's like really worth going and getting them. But it's really difficult to do, so lots of people wouldn't have done it. But if you get them, there's loads of meat there, and it really pays off.
And I guess you got the wool to keep you warm as well. Yeah.
Meat, fat, wool, loads of stuff, bones.
Yeah.
And we used to use so much of the mammoth, like all of the mammoth. You know, we'd use their ivory for I think different sort of tools and whatnot. Mm. A mammoth is a great kill if you're an early human nowadays. Bad move. There's not enough of them to kill any, you know?
Well, yeah. So if hats off to you if you manage to kill one.
No, if you spot one, don't bloody... hats off, no! Don't re-extinct a species.
All odds.
You see a dodo, are you going to kill it? No.
No.
Protect it. You don't kill a mammoth. No. I feel like you'd
I wasn't encouraging it. Just said it's...
You just said you congratulate them by taking your hat off.
I just said it... Maybe I did.
Yeah, you're walking that one. You're walking that one back. Yeah, so we used to hunt mammoths. They were around for a long time, and they were bloody big. A lot of them had woolly coats, as we know, which were apparently about an inch thick. And that was beneath another layer of hair, which was about 20 inches long. If that makes sense?
Mm-hmm. What?
So they had a woolly undercoat. And right. Then, like, long, long hair like sort of above that coat.
They kind of had like layers to their fur.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, look, that's present in other animals as well.
Yeah.
You know, you've got undercoats and yeah. And yeah. So the wool is, you know, the sort of undercoat, it seems. And then they've got like long hairs on top of that. And they had apparently up to three inches of fat to insulate them, which, wow. I mean, 3 inches of fat is a fair amount.
It's quite big, yeah.
Yeah, so, and that was on their skin, by the way.
It's really hard to offend them, though, because they had quite thick skin.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. So they had small ears for elephants. But then the reason that one of the reasons that our elephants have such large, I say our elephants, extant elephants that haven't gone extinct yet.
Yeah.
The reason they've got such large ears is because they tend to live in warm climates and they use their ears for thermoregulation. So their ears help keep them cool. But mammoths live in cold places, so they did not want their ears to keep them cool because that would kill them. So they had quite small ears. So it helped them retain a heat. And this is something that, here's a question, right? Mm-hmm. This is something that I found really interesting when I looked it up. How do you think mammoths are related to modern elephants? Like in what's it like, when did they sort of all branch off from each other? Are they ancestors? What's the deal going on with them? How does a mammoth become an elephant? Like a modern elephant?
I was just thinking, how long have elephants been
somewhere
around?
Warm?
Sorry?
You
move somewhere.
I was just trying to think how old elephants are.
Well, here's the thing. So I feel like a lot of people listening will think that elephants descended from mammoths.
That would seem logical.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's not true. No, they shared a common ancestor, but elephants and mammoths are actually, they actually diverted from a common ancestor. It's kind of like how chimps and humans diverted from a common ancestor, but they're not.
Yes.
Yeah, we didn't come from chimps.
Yeah.
Yeah, so mammoths, elephants didn't come from mammoths. They diverted and mammoths died off. And actually, interestingly, the African elephant split off from mammoths before the Asian elephant split off from mammoths.
Ah.
So I'm fairly sure what that means is that Asian elephants are actually probably slightly more closely linked to mammoths on sort of Tree of Life than they are to African elephants in that the split for them happened later.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
What was the common ancestor like? Would we recognize it as being elephant-like?
Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. There is one called the Gomphotherium. And that came after the split between sort of elephants, sort of more modern elephants and mastodons. And it looks like an elephant. It's got a shorter trunk. And big bottom teeth. I don't know if you guys, I mean, okay, so when I was in LA, I went to the tar pits. I can't remember what they're called. The La Brea tar pits, I think. Sure, let's go with that. And
that is correct.
Yes. Yes. This was a year ago, by the way. That's why I'm proud I remembered. So I went there and they have this fantastic exhibit that is sort of the evolution of elephants and evolution of mammoths. And yeah, so you've got this kind of like proto-elephant almost that has a shorter trunk, tusks and like sort of long sort of jutting out bottom teeth, kind of like how a rat's top teeth look. And that then split off into sort of mammoths. That split off into something and African elephants split off from that. And then down the mammoth sort of line, the mammoths and Asian elephants split off after that. Apparently, it's been likened to how gorillas, sort of the split between sort of gorillas, humans, chimps, all sort of happened.
Right,
of one after the other. It was quite a quick splits. Really, that makes sense. Doesn't really matter. It was just an interesting thing. It's just an interesting thing. I thought that mammoths, elephants, modern elephants aren't descended from mammoths. They just have a common ancestor.
So did mammoths kind of exist everywhere on Earth at roughly the same time, or did they, over a long period of time, kind of like move with the climate?
I think they moved with the climate. But also, the issue is that they died out. So the reason that they died out is because of the climate. So because they existed for such a long time, they would have traveled. They would have obviously started in one place. They were traveled to lots of different places. In fact, we can see them traveling to certain islands where they became smaller and whatnot. But the reason they died out is because of a change in climate. In in all likelihood. So about 15,000 years ago, the last ice age started to end. Or, you know, it started to get warmer, essentially. And so that meant that the sort of grassy areas where, the kind of grassy areas where the mammoths, you know, would live and had the vegetation that they ate, they were then replaced by forests. And that ruined their habitat and their diet. And so they started to die out a bit. Some of them apparently continued to survive. And then humans came along and were like, ha-ha. Ah,
you look tasty.
Oh, mammoth, yeah. And then killed them. So apparently it was a mix between humans and climate that killed mammoths.
Oh, great.
Which is an age-old story.
Right.
That's what's going to kill most things, actually.
Except nowadays, the climate is caused by humans. It's just caused by people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
We're doing both now. We're hunting them and changing the climate.
Yeah, it's like, I'm so sick of, like, humans were just so sick of waiting for the climate to bring things to the brink before we, you know, knock them off. Why don't we just make the climate, you know, why don't we make the climate do it faster?
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
Save us the effort.
Nature's oven.
Yeah. It is like giving the world like a proper Dutch oven. Anyway, so mammoths, as we've already spoken about, are fairly well preserved because they lived in cold places. And if you die in the cold and get frozen, you know, covered under sort of layers of sort of frost and whatnot, you can stay frozen for a long time. There's the permafrost in certain places in the world, specifically the very, very cold ones, that just remains like frozen. It just stays frozen all year round. So that's why those mammoths are preserved, because it's not like they've been sort of freezing and thawing and freezing and thawing. They just froze and stay frozen until we found them, essentially. So apparently I've read that some sled dogs were fed mammoth meat that had started to thaw. So it's like, you know, meat from mammoths that died a long, long time ago, and people would feed that to their dogs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mad, right? I mean, this is not like a widespread thing. This is like probably in a few instances. But it's just really interesting that like mammoths, yeah, they died out a long time ago, but because they've been so well preserved, we can know a lot about them and we still, you know, use them. So that's a little background on mammoths. I want to give you guys a little background on DNA before we dive properly into the story. What do you guys know about DNA?
You need to jog my memory on the key points.
Well, what do you mean by the question? Like, we can tell you what it's made of, but that's not very helpful to talking about mammoths or relevant.
It is. I mean, look, I just want you to give me a brief overview of what you know about DNA.
Okay. It's the double helix thing. It's made up of like a sequence of, what are the letters? AGTC.
I've
forgotten what those are called.
And it codes for proteins, and those proteins then build cells. No, muscles. One of those. They build things. Those proteins build things, and then those things are made into mammoths sometimes.
As a treat on a rare occasion.
You know the clips we put out on a Monday? That's that clip. That's it right there. Someone time code this for me, please. That's going out. This is going to Twitter.
I mean, I do know, but when you ask me, I can't tell you.
No, I know it was a mean question. I wanted to see if you'd come up with something good, and to be fair, you did. So DNA, it's deoxyribonucleic acid. It's basically the building block of us. It is the code for you. And as Luke so eloquently put it, yes, it codes for proteins. And the proteins actually make up pretty much all your body. There's proteins everywhere, you know. Your muscles are made of protein. There's proteins. There's proteins in sort of everything. I mean, your hair, keratin is a sort of protein strand. Proteins are everywhere, right? That's what makes you, essentially.
Yeah.
It helps you build your body up. So that is what DNA is for. It's basically a code to build you. It's called code to build an elephant, a mammoth, whatever you want to build, if it's a living thing.
The world is your oyster. Oysters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's true.
So DNA, the great thing about DNA is that it's actually quite stable in a living cell. So as soon as it's not in a living cell, DNA isn't terribly stable. In fact, if something dies, its DNA tends to degrade relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not gonna see. That's why you don't see DNA in fossils. So if we think about Jurassic Park, do you guys remember the story of Jurassic Park?
Yes, they had to get DNA from. Was it like the blood of a dinosaur that was in a mosquito that was preserved in amber? And that's where they found the DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was really...
That's where they had to get it from.
So yeah, in Jurassic Park, the way that they bring the dinosaurs back to life is by using some dino DNA that they found, yeah, in mosquitoes in amber. Now, we can't really do that. That's a little bit sci-fi. No. But and they filled in the DNA with, like, you know, frog DNA and whatnot. That's why the dinosaurs don't look normal. But mm-hmm. the idea behind that is that essentially you have, like, you know, in normal fossils, the DNA does not last. The DNA is broken down, you know, it's too sort of fragile to last thousands and thousands and millions of years even. But mammoths are quite old, you know.
Yeah.
They've been around, like, they have not been around for a long time. And so it doesn't really make sense that we're able to get DNA of mammoths, like, you know, because DNA doesn't last very long. In fact, apparently, I found a study that says that DNA has a half-life of about 521 years. Now, what that means is that after 521 years, the sort of, like, if you've got an amount of DNA at the start, mm-hmm. after 521 years, it will have sort of degraded by half.
Yeah.
And then 521 years later, it'll degrade by half again.
Cool.
And half again, half again, half again, half again, half again. Which means that, like, after, you know, a few thousand years, you've got such a minimal amount of DNA that you don't really have enough to work with.
Yeah.
But yeah, and DNA decays. If you don't have your, basically, a living cell to continue sort of repairing it and keeping it fixed, it will start to degrade pretty quickly. And then there's specific chemicals in it that, there's specific parts of it that, like, sort of tend to decay quite a bit more, and then when it's in water it decays even more so, and a lot of things that die end up being sort of like decayed by groundwater. They get digested by microbes, and so usually we cannot find DNA from very old dead things. But these scientists have actually done something pretty cool in that they found DNA from a mammoth that was over a million years old.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah.
How?
Mad, right? Well, this is the thing. Because it was frozen, it was frozen in the permafrost, and it was so cold that the DNA stayed relatively stable. I say relatively stable. They didn't have like the sort of full genome mm-hmm. that was like untouched. It was all sort of fragmented, and they had to piece it together. They had to use some elephant DNA. And
it's just like Jurassic Park.
Yeah, and what they knew about some other mammoth DNA that they'd, some sort of newer mammoth DNA that they'd sequenced to sort of piece it together. I mean, it's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like having pieces of a human genome.
Yeah.
Right? Like all the little fragments of a human genome, and looking at a chimp to kind of be like, okay, I guess. Looking at the chimp is like, okay, this one goes there, that one goes there, that one goes there, you know? Or, like, put it this way, it's like chopping a human up into, like, different bits. You've got arm bits and leg bits and fingers and whatnot, right? And looking at a chimp and being like, okay, how do I assemble this fucking human? And you've got bits, you've got some bits of it missing, and you've got to be like, okay, like, someone's taken away, like, the left thigh, and someone's taken away, like, you know, one of the eyes, and some of the teeth are missing. You got to be like, okay, where do I fill in the blanks here? You look at a chimp, you're like, okay, yeah, okay, clearly there needs to be some teeth. That's what they were doing, but with DNA. Right?
Yeah.
They described it as kind of looking at the box of a puzzle, you know, like a jigsaw puzzle to try and piece it together. So yeah, essentially what happened here was a mammoth died, froze, and its DNA was very well preserved, but over a million years old. Before this, the oldest DNA that we'd managed to sequence, I think we might have spoken about this before, ages ago, was from a horse. From, I think, about 700, 750 million years ago.
Wow. Whoa. A very well-frozen horse.
Yeah, it was a very well-preserved horse.
The fact that horses were around that long ago is amazing.
I mean...
Very successful species.
It was probably, like, some kind of proto-horse.
But yeah.
Wait, I said 750,000, right?
I said 750 million.
For fuck's sake.
That is long.
I was like, nearly a billion years. No,
the oldest
on.
Before that.
Crazy.
The oldest before
horses
that.
Have been roaming the earth for nearly a billion
fucking
years.
Hell, I'm going to pay respect to every single horse I see.
The oldest before that was 750,000 years old.
Okay, that seems
this
more sensible.
1 million. I can't believe you guys didn't catch. This 1 million year old, the over 1 million year old elephant now trumps that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
what would trump that even more? A 750 million year old horse.
Well, keep looking.
It's a billion year old, a 1.5 billion year old elephant. Yes. No. So this is this elephant is about 1.5 million years old. And apparently, so in theory, right, because the permafrost is about 2.6 million years old, theoretically, you could sequence DNA that is 2.6 million years old, so long as something died in that permafrost 2.6 million years ago.
Ooh. Wow.
And so this was really interesting to me. So the thing is that there was a mammoth that was about 1.2 million years old that died, and they've sort of sequenced its DNA. They've pieced it all together. And they've built a pretty good sort of genome for this. Not a full one. They've built, like, you know, they're pretty good. They pieced all the DNA together, which is pretty cool, for a really, really old mammoth. And yeah, so just to give you some sort of numbers and dates, the oldest DNA that we've got from humans in Africa is about 15,000 years old, which is pretty old, right? But obviously not a million years old. we have DNA from a Neanderthal that lived 120,000 years ago.
Wow.
And
it's not a million years, though, is it?
It's not a million, no.
It's not a million years or a mammoth.
It's not 750
it's
million.
It's a slightly different looking person.
Yeah.
Big man.
I mean, what is a mammoth if not a slightly different looking elephant?
Hairy one.
Yeah, I said that's...
Even bigger though, really big.
Sometimes.
Sometimes big, really big. yeah, but I'm a person, so it's not interesting. I'm not a mammoth, Corey. If I was a mammoth, it'd be boring. If I was an elephant, it'd be boring. But I'm not, am I?
Honestly, Luke, I think if you were a mammoth, this would be a lot more entertaining.
Be a very different show, wouldn't it?
Like, oh yes, this is our friend Luke. He's a mammoth. Don't be alarmed. He's actually 100. He's 1.2 million years old. Hey,
750 million years old. Rather than the permafrost.
It's a proper Captain America type situation over here, isn't it?
Every Marvel reference you make is lost on me.
That's fine. I mean, it would be because you're a mammoth from 1.2 million years ago.
We found Mammoth's trumpet.
Yeah, we found Captain America in the permafrost.
And this is the thing. What's interesting, they plotted, they basically looked at the DNA of the older mammoths that they found and the DNA of elephants, and they tried to figure out how long ago the sort of paths would have diverged, and it lined up with sort of previous estimates. So, it kind of means that they were on pretty good track with how well they sort of sequenced this DNA. So the youngest mammoth that they found was about 700,000 years old. And then the second one was about 1 million years old. And then the oldest one was 1.2 million years old. And the oldest one, apparently, I think it's a new species that they found. They've called it, or at least it's something that we've not really, a new species of mammoth that we've not really seen before. They've called it Krestovka, after basically the place where it was found. They've essentially, right, found out that the Colombian mammoths of North America, which went extinct about 13,000 years ago, that they shared about half their genes with this new one that they've just found.
Only half?
Yes. Hang on.
I share half my genes with a banana.
Yeah, that's what
so
I was
So what
thinking.
Do you mean?
Look,
do you mean half of the different genes?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Look.
Okay. Sorry, I just needed to understand that.
I share half my genes with a banana.
I'm half banana.
I do. I looked that up this week.
Yeah. Why did you look that up this week?
Doty's sister was tweeting about twins and how weird it was, and I replied saying, "You're half as similar to a banana." That was why. Don't need to know.
Yeah, I mean, look, but that's not really... Look, how about this? We'll tackle the half the genes, banana genes, another day. Everyone put a pin in that. Don't go telling anyone about it. Don't go talking about it. Just either Google it now or put a pin in it.
It's only because we found a 1.2 million old banana in the permafrost, but we didn't have all the DNA. There's bits missing, so we had to take bits of Luke.
From people.
Yeah. We took bits of Luke and then put it in the banana.
Yeah, it's not everyone shares half their genes with the banana.
It's just Luke. Yeah, yeah.
Bananas went extinct and they re-spliced the DNA of bananas from me and what was left of a 1.2 million year old banana. And that's where the modern banana comes from. You're welcome.
A species of banana did go extinct.
Yeah, the one that tastes like sweets.
No, don't say, I mean, yes, but like, don't say it like that. That's
tastes like sweets, Corey.
No,
that's an oversimplification.
No, that's not the one that sweets taste like. The banana flavor.
That's what I said. The one that tastes like sweets.
No. No. You know what you've said. Explain it to the good people. Explain it properly.
So, okay. So there's this banana that tastes really like those banana sweets you have.
Wait, can I just pause you for a sec?
And
you've made it sound as though there's a singular banana that tastes like these.
There is, and it's gone extinct. It's really sad.
Someone
just
ate it.
Just the one.
Just the one.
Just the one. There is one banana that tastes like that. You've got to find it.
Okay, there's a strain of banana which was the banana that the sweet banana was based upon, and that banana has gone extinct. Now, I've actually heard that it does still exist some places, but that it's really basically really susceptible to banana diseases. And so it's not very widespread. But you can, apparently it does still exist somewhere.
Really? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
The reason that it went extinct or almost went extinct is because bananas are basically all clones, but they're not, there's no seeds. They don't reproduce sexually. Mm. They just clone themselves. So bananas are all clones of each other, which means that they're genetically very, very similar, which means that if there's a disease that comes about, there's no genetic variation. That means that some bananas might be able to survive it better than others, which means that if you got...
All the bananas get it equally bad.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
But if you go to your local sweet shop and you get one of those bananas and then you plant it, then it comes back. Banana sweets, sorry, not bananas. Banana sweets. It's called the Fusarium oxysporum, apparently. Wait, no, it's not. No, that's the thing that kills it. Don't. No.
No.
Oh, God. Oh,
don't
God.
Don't eat that.
Oh, no.
I'm just enjoying watching this train wreck from where I'm sitting. Fantastic. Please don't.
It's called a gross banana. Michael banana. Sorry. It's called a gross Michael banana.
That doesn't sound very appetizing.
Gross. Michael.
Oh, my God. George Mike. Do you think that's why George Michael from Arrested Development is... No.
Did he eat it?
George Michael.
He must have eaten it.
Yeah. No, what?
The one banana.
George, it's Michael Cera. He's like, look, this doesn't matter. This is completely unrelated. Shall we start talking about mammoths again?
No.
Okay,
I kind of like bananas.
No. Okay, fine.
No, carry on.
More about banana. No. Back to the mammoths. These Colombian mammoths are very similar to this new sort of species of mammoth that they've discovered. Mm. And also very similar to woolly mammoths. And so that means that basically what researchers think happened is that this new species of mammoth basically went to North America, met a bunch of woolly mammoths, got a little bit busy with a bunch of woolly mammoths, and they basically kind of turned into a new third sort of offshoot species of the two.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. It's
very cool, right? Very cool.
Sexy mammoth.
supposedly and so that means that there's a sort of distinct subspecies of mammoth for that specific place, which is very cool. And so I mean that's almost it for the story, but there is something else I want to talk about.
Okay I
know what it is.
What is it?
Is it the story that I read many years ago that said within a couple of years, we're going to have clones of woolly mammoths, and that didn't happen, and I'm angry.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they said within 2 years, like 4 years ago.
Well, maybe 3 years ago. No, hold on. It was 2000. So in 2000, I mean, actually, they probably did say that about 4 years ago. We've had some breakthroughs on it. For some reason, people are trying to bring back woolly mammoths. I think it's silly. Well, no, I don't think it's necessarily silly. Some of the reasons that they're doing it, before we get into the sort of how and whatnot, is some of the reasons that they're doing it is some people have said that it can help us sort of understand how some species are going extinct and how to protect them from going extinct. But I think that's silly, right? Because here's the thing. Species are going to go extinct. We should take our hands off the wheel a little bit and just let some things go extinct. Obviously, in the case of climate change and poaching, stop poaching them. But if it's like a panda and a panda just doesn't want to have sex or, you know, eat meat like it should, let them die.
Just let them... they're cute.
I don't care. They're dumb and frustrating.
I mean, that to me, what you said there about, you know, this will help us discover how species goes, that sounds like a funding application.
Yeah.
That is just making stuff up because they want to clone a mammoth. I fully agree. Fully agree with that.
I think, to be honest, if it's in industry, I think the reason that you say for cloning a mammoth is you can open a mammoth park. You can open a bloody zoo that's just mammoths.
Put them in cages.
No, you wouldn't put them in cages, man. It'd be a big bloody safari, a mammoth safari.
Is it even? So
that's just a very big cage, Corey.
They're mammoth, bro.
Can they go wherever they want?
No, I suppose. Yeah.
So is it even cold enough cage for them anyway?
Make a big cold room. Well, it won't be cold enough for them. It won't be cold enough for them soon.
It's called a fridge.
Yeah, but also the issue with like this is something they kind of touched on in Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park, the dinosaurs, they made them grow extra fast, which is ridiculous, but whatever. If you were to have a mammoth, just think about how long it would take for a mammoth to get to full size. It takes us like 18 years or more to get to our full size.
Yeah.
Imagine how long it would take for a bloody mammoth to get to full size.
How long do they live? How long are they meant to live for?
I actually don't know. I actually don't know how long mammoths live. I mean, the thing is, it'd probably be hard to say how long they live, given that they've been dead for thousands. Yeah, true. They've been dead for thousands.
Well, they don't really live for very long, do they?
Yeah, you could probably make a guess based on how long elephants live, which I don't know. I don't know what
I think elephants. I think elephants live comparative length to humans, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we check how long elephants live?
60 to 70 years.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great, because then an elephant could be born at the same time as you and it could be your friend for your whole life.
Wow. Imagine that TV show and that book where you have like a daemon, but your daemon is a mammoth.
Matt Damon.
No, not Matt Damon. Your daemon is Matt Damon.
Luke's talking about the his dark compass. Materials.
Golden compass. Oh, I see.
Yeah, the demons and whatnot.
Everywhere you go, you just got to take this bloody four-meter-tall elephant with you.
I mean,
and you have to trim its hair and stuff.
No,
because it gets too long.
It
and
just
matted.
Carries you places, though.
That's true, but really slowly. You can walk faster, surely.
I mean, I don't know how fast a mammoth moves. Being perfectly honest, so I wouldn't.
Well, we haven't seen him. We don't know.
But we might. That might be changing in the future. Yeah. So, the idea is that.
Oh my god, an elephant can go 40 kilometers an hour. Okay, I take it all back. That is insane.
I should point this out.
An elephant go 40 kilometers an hour.
If a bull elephant charges at you. Just say your prayers. You're done, bro. Elephants, like elephants, we think of elephants as being fun and nice and stuff, and they can be very fun and nice. But an elephant in a bad mood, you're dead. They're true. Big and they're sharp and they're stampy,
heavy, bulky.
This is something I was going to point out is that we think of big things as being quite slow. Makes sense. But bear in mind that something big moving quite quick will look slower by virtue of the fact that it is very large, right? Like a mouse, you can outrun a mouse, but a mouse in like relation to its size moves very, very quickly. But you can still outrun a mouse.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, I assume I have no idea how fast mice run.
I'm pretty quick.
Let's look it up.
Go for it.
40 kilometers
Google,
an hour.
All my Google search history is just going to be top speed of different animals. Mouse top speed is 8 miles per hour.
That'd
be quite tough for you to outrun, I reckon.
No, I could beat that. Surely.
Human top speed. 45 kilometers an hour. Okay. Wow. I'm taking a lot back today. I take it back.
So, speaking of mice and mammoths, you didn't think I'd be able to tie them in, would you? But I can actually tie them in because we recently actually got to put some mammoth DNA into mice cells. Sounds silly, but let me explain a little bit more.
That is one cruel pregnancy.
Did it make the mice 4 meters tall? That would be incredible.
No, it just made the cells dead. No. So what we did is essentially we put mammoth DNA into the sort of embryo cells of mice embryos. And the idea is obviously like if you could put the mammoth DNA into the mouse embryo, then it could feasibly sort of grow into a living thing that is kind of like a mammoth, essentially. Mm. Obviously, it didn't, like this was in Japan, I believe. The idea is they're trying to clone woolly mammoths.
Yeah.
But it didn't quite work. So the cells, there were sort of, how do we put it? There were some things that need to happen before cells divide.
Yeah.
And that stuff happened in some of the cells. But they didn't actually start dividing properly for a number of reasons. I think one of the primary ones being the fact that the DNA, it wasn't sort of working properly inside the cell. To simplify it. Basically, the cell wasn't treating the DNA the way that it should be treated. It's DNA. A shame. And so they couldn't divide properly. So it couldn't actually grow into a full mammoth. It was just kind of mammoth DNA existing quite well inside of a mouse embryo. But it was a pretty big breakthrough at the time in 2019. And it is a pretty major step towards cloning mammoths. And this sort of old mammoth DNA means that, you know, one, it means that there could be more animals whose DNA we could find and sequence pretty reliably. And two, it means that if we're going to clone a mammoth, we could clone a really, really old mammoth. And I do think, apparently, I've read different estimates between like 10 and 30 years, we could be actually cloning mammoths. Again, not sure why. If we've seen Jurassic Park, if we've seen Jurassic Park, then we should understand that it's a bloody bad idea. Don't go cloning things that are extinct.
The lesson of every single Jurassic Park film is don't do this.
Yeah.
And they just keep doing it.
Oh, but I do it.
Six films later.
You know I'd do it. I would do it. I'd do it over and over.
That doesn't apply to me.
No, it surely doesn't apply not to me and my dinosaur.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is the story of woolly mammoths and the oldest DNA that we currently know about.
Very cool.
Very cool. Very cool, isn't it?
I guess the thing is that, though, is that if they manage to successfully clone, especially the 1.2 million year old one, then they kind of know they can probably clone anything at least less old than that. Like, it's a really good test case for like the limits of our ability to reconstruct DNA from fragments.
Mm.
It's like that's some of the oldest DNA we're going to find. So like, it's better than like trying to bring back a dodo, which we maybe have much better samples of DNA for.
Yeah.
If we can bring back a mammoth, we can probably bring back anything within the last million years, as long as we've got something frozen.
I don't know if we do have better samples for dodo DNA.
Oh.
Because why would
they
we?
Weren't frozen. Yeah.
If you think about it, the reason, so the issue of the issue with the DNA is not the age, is in fact just how well preserved it is. So something could go extinct something could have gone extinct like, you know, a few thousand years ago, and if its DNA isn't well preserved, then we're kind of we've got no luck.
Yeah,
this is kind of a measure of, it's not about how old something, it's not about how old something is, it's about how well preserved it is. So what this is kind of showing is that if something is sufficiently well preserved, we can really just kind of sequence its DNA, so long as, you know, we've got maybe some kind of blueprint to work from, some kind of descendant or cousin or whatnot that we can use as a sort of blueprint or picture on the puzzle box. But yeah, that is this week's episode. How about we start going to the end with a quick fire quiz?
yeah
dun, 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 dun. Mammoth edition.
So for this big mammoth sized quick fire quiz, I'm gonna ask you guys one question between the two of you. I have to finish ask the question before you can answer. You gotta buzz in before you can answer. The first person to buzz in and answer the question correctly wins everything in this episode. And I'm going to ask you now, Luke, what is your buzzer?
Oh, for God's sake, that was going to be mine.
Very good. Jamp, what
I'm
is your buzzer?
I'm the mammoth on this podcast. Get away.
I've got to think of a new buzzer now. That exact thing was going to be mine.
Just make a banana noise, because, you know, Luke's a banana as well.
that's very, very fantastic. Quiet. ASMR.
Okay, so my question for you guys is, roughly, what is the estimated half-life of DNA? Oh, I think with the delay, Luke might have got that.
Just got in.
About 50 years.
No.
Incorrect, Luke, I'm afraid. Jam, can you come in with a steal?
It's in the 500s. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say 512.
You're not close enough. It's 521. You got the digits mixed around.
I got a mixed around.
But if we're playing if we're playing the prices right, I think Jamp won that one. So well done, Jamp. You got this question right for this week. And that's it. I don't really know what else to say other than good job.
Good job, man.
We've only got 8 weeks of losses left. We're good. It's a reference to last week.
The curse. So
that is it for this week's episode. But before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons with a very special thank you to executive producer Ashley Muller. Thank you for watching. You can find the full references for this episode in the description and subscribe for new episodes every Sunday. And why not leave us a nice wee comment? You can support the pod at patreon.com/SciGuys, or you can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or SciGuys at TikTok 2.
SciGuys at TikTok 2.
I am not Corey Everywhere.
I'm Champkin Everywhere.
I'm Luke Cuffworth Everywhere.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.